Good morning, everyone. We're very happy to be here with you today, and we're very excited we did not trip up the stairs. So we have accomplished the first feat. So my name is Steve Beck. This is my family up there on the picture. My wife is here. This is Danielle. And Josiah and Anna are sitting there. I will not make them come up, and I will not traumatize them. So let me introduce ourselves while I am reacclimating after taking off the mask. It's a lot of mask breathing, and I'm getting a little lightheaded, but it happens. In Arua, Uganda, where we live, I visit, pray with, and evangelize to tuberculosis patients in the hospital. And there's a pastor that very nicely from, I think, Georgia, sent some very thick, I don't even know what they are, masks from Georgia that we wear. And so you put the things on and you go in there and, like, after walking about 5 feet, you're just like, so then we're in the tuberculosis ward and I have to, like, pull the thing off my face and breathe deeply, which I think is probably more dangerous than actually just breathing shallowly, maybe in my shirt. But we wear those because it's regulation. So I know it's very difficult singing or talking or preaching through a mask. Anyway, so my name is Steve Beck. I think the first time my family came to New Hope Christian Center, I was 10 years old. It was right after the church opened, a couple weeks. And I spent most of my childhood and youth here at New Hope Christian Center. This is where I met Danielle. You were 12?
15.
Danielle was 15, so I'm 37 now. So we met here almost 20 years ago. 21 years ago. 21 years ago. Yeah. Yes. So we have a lot of history here. Josiah, when he was born 14 years ago, this was the first place we brought him to. So this was his first venture outside of the house. We sat in the back over there, so he got a visit a long time ago. I knew Pastor Jim before he was Pastor Jim. So I worked part-time with him when he had Olson's Custom Woodworking. I remember one of these, you know, funny things that you remember when you come back into an environment that you've been in a long time ago is that we were going to work one day and he showed up late to pick me up. He's like, "Well, sorry, I got locked out of the house. Stephanie just figured out how to lock the front door. I went out to get the newspaper and she locked the door and she was just laughing at me." So that was a long time ago. looking around, yeah, we have a lot of memories here. I think I was the only certified person by Pastor Lee to use the chair stick when setting back up the sanctuary after youth events. I pretty much learned how to play drums here. I remember the first, well, I played a long time for the youth band. I played with Angela for many years. I think the first time it was on a Sunday night, New Hope was doing Sunday morning and Sunday evening services for, I think, just a short amount of time. And I was sitting in the second row, I think, where I usually sat, and the drummer for the Sunday evening service didn't show up for whatever reason, and Donella looked at me and she said, "Steve, you want to give it a try?" So I said, "Wow, awesome." So I came and sat down, and then I remember very clearly, she looked at me and said, "Steve, if you get lost, if things just go completely chaotic, I'm going to keep playing, you stop and follow me." I'm sure you can hear her saying that. Yeah. So we have a lot of memories here. And so I know one of Danielle's main points she likes to get across when we speak to people is that we are very normal people. We are not superhumans. I know you can read some of the old missionary stories and it seems like they are partially divine, right? You read these stories and you're like, "Wow, look how great these people are." That's not really us. Okay? I don't want to disappoint you. So I think you can talk to many people here and know we are just very normal people that God has chosen to use, except for the normal part that we packed up and moved to South Sudan with two small children about 8 years ago. Apart from that, I think we're pretty normal people. All right? So I think we will start here. So it was actually in our time here as youth, where God called both of us into full-time ministry. It was Danielle first that got into full-time missions, and then me at a later time, I got called into full-time missions when I was about 18. Danielle was about 12. And we had that idea when we got married that we were going to go to specifically East Africa. And it wasn't until, some years after we were married that God specifically gave us the nation of Sudan at the time. The time he spoke to our hearts and directed us to that place, it was still Sudan, and it wasn't South Sudan until we arrived about a year later after their independence. So we currently live in Uganda, but we ended up moving to Uganda because of a situation that wasn't very good. We were in South Sudan for almost 4 years, working with an organization called Youth with a Mission. And then through different circumstances, political unrest, tribal problems, we had to leave our home, and we left the country along with almost 2 million refugees out of South Sudan, and we moved to Uganda, where we are living today. That's where our home is now. We live in close proximity to the refugees from South Sudan. Many of our neighbors are staff that were with us in South Sudan when we were serving with YWAM there. They live just next to our houses. We built a small community together on the YWAM base that's in Arua, Uganda. And we continue ministering and working with the South Sudanese people that God called us to live with. Want to add anything yet, or I just keep going? Okay. So we're tag teaming this thing today. So I will give Danielle opportunity when we get a little farther. So I think early on, when we moved to South Sudan, we did a class called Perspectives on World Mission, which is a great class. I would encourage everyone to do it. And then we read, a lot of missionary stories, and we had some ideas in our mind where, great ideas. We wanted to go to Sudan. One of the reasons we wanted to go there is because 2/3 of the population were considered unreached people. Different tribal religions, and then a large population of Sudan is Muslim. And so that was one of the reasons why we wanted to go there. And so when we arrived, we had these ideas of going out into the bush, out into the desert, or wherever we were going to go, and meet these, people who had never heard of the gospel and evangelize, and, great, great movements were going to happen. So we arrived in Yei in South Sudan in 2012, and we found the missions community that we came into was a mess. There was a lot of disunity. There was a lot of sin issues that were going on. And it didn't really look like what we thought what a missions community was going to look like. We thought, all of us together, we have left our lives, whatever they were, came together for the sole purpose of expanding God's kingdom. And what we found was just a big mess. And we contributed greatly to the problems that were there. That's what happened. And so through a number of years, we ended up working together through, people choosing to put one another above each other. The Spirit of God was really working in us. And so, by the time we left South Sudan, we were working really together, really well as a good group. But when we came, we had the idea that we were going to be the end of the spear, going to the unreached people. But then we found out that, I don't really like evangelism, which is kind of a problem for evangelizing people. We went, and I'd spent a number of years doing construction work, and so that was part of the reason we arrived in Yei, South Sudan, because they were doing some building projects that I was going to be a part of. They had a clinic on the YWAM base that Danielle was going to serve at because she's a registered nurse. And so we arrived there, and then once we found all of these problems and we were, arguing and, well, this is right, and no, this is wrong, and this, just whatever situation we were in, we ended up, God, this is not why we're here, right? This is not why we came. And I can see God, he's like, are you sure? Because through that process, we found out that, our spiritual giftings, the calling that God has on our life was, I ended up finding a teaching gift that God had put in me. Danielle ended up loving to do children's ministry. There was a desire in her heart to train and disciple children. When we first arrived, the idea that we had ended up being not the reason, but whatever ideas we had when we got there got us there, and then God shifted us in this direction to go over here, right? So, Youth with a Mission, let me give you just a brief explanation of Youth with a Mission. So we've been with Youth with a Mission in South Sudan and also Uganda. It's an international organization. They work and operate in almost every nation in the world. And it's a very disorganized, free missions organization. And the disorganization of the thing helps the expansion and helps people to, get into God's mission and build his kingdom without certain financial requirements, without certain educational standards, without, whatever. There's a lot of organizations that require, many years of theological training that require you to raise tens of thousands of dollars before you can get into mission, which really limits then, missions expansion to just a small amount of people. But Youth with the Mission really focuses on all of us coming together, without having certain standards, but if God has called you, then giving an opportunity for you to now come in and be involved in God's mission around the world. So we've worked with Youth of the Mission. We work with South Sudanese people alongside of South Sudanese people, Ugandan, Burundi, Ghanaian people, German, British, French, I don't even know, the list goes on, Somali people. So we work as a big group from all over the world, different economic levels, different even denominational backgrounds. So we just come together as one in the body of Christ to move forward in the direction God's called us to. So that is a bit about Youth with a Mission. And now I think maybe that's enough background. And then if Belinda or, oh, there we go. If we can maybe shift to the second picture there, then I'll hand it over to Danielle, and she can explain a bit about the ministry she's involved in.
Okay, yes. I'm so happy to be here. Being a New Hope is always like coming home, so thank you for having us. A lot of my time is spent homeschooling my two kids. So I do about 20 hours a week of homeschool, and then about 20 hours a week leading our children's ministry team. So this is a picture of most of our team. It's missing a couple other people. So I say like leading because the team that I have are all amazing. They have gifts and experience that go beyond mine. So it's just amazing and has given me a love for team, for working together with other people. I can do a little bit. I know a little bit, but there's a lot I don't know, and there's a lot I can't do. I think it's the same for everyone. So when God puts us together with a group of people, and they have their gifts and their strengths, and all of a sudden there's this beautiful picture of Jesus and what he can do that's more complete and more beautiful, and we can do so much more as a team than I could ever do as an individual. So our two Africans, they're both South Sudanese, Sarah and Lakuta, have a long history of being school teachers. And Lakuta actually started a school in South Sudan under a mango tree with a handful of kids, and it grew to be over 500 kids in multiple grade levels. So, I mean, his experience. And Sarah ran the preschool with a few hundred kids. And then we have a couple people that have degrees in social work with at-risk kids, and another lady, Mandy, who has worked with special needs kids. So we just have this team that's has so many gifts and so many strengths, and it's a huge blessing to work with them, even though it can be messy and difficult, but it's really beautiful. And then Anna is also there. She's joined our children's ministry team. She calls herself a KTIT, kids teacher in training. And she's been a big blessing, too. She does great with the kids. Of course, children love other kids, and they'll listen and watch her and learn from her in ways that maybe they don't as much for the adults. And we can go to the next picture. Yes, so we have different children's programs on the YWAM base for our community kids. We have a program every Tuesday. It's like a Bible club where we have songs and Bible story. We do memory verse and crafts and games. And we often have 100 kids or so a Tuesday, depending on the weather and school. So we have that. And then on Saturdays, we go out to a nearby village about a half an hour away from us, where there's a brand new church that meets under this tree. And we are working to train Sunday school teachers for this brand new church. There are lots of kids in the community. Uganda is, I think it's like 80% or something is under 18 years old. So we have mainly children in Uganda and South Sudan. So the church is made up largely of kids. But having a Sunday school, a children's church, is not very common. Often kids sit with the adults in church services that can last for hours. So they get bored. You know, kids learn in different ways than adults, and they need more activity and more hands-on and more visual. So we work with some people from this new church, and every Saturday we go out, we do a children's program for them and for the kids in the area with the ladies there. And then we have teaching afterwards for a couple hours. So we've been doing that for a few months. Of course, with COVID, that stopped. Everything in Uganda is shut down as well. But we were seeing a lot of fruit from that group. So that's where we are there. The first, I'll share this, even though it's a little embarrassing. It fits with what Steve said. The first Saturday we went out there, we knew it was a new church. We knew that the kids hadn't had much learning about Jesus. They hadn't had that opportunity. So we thought as a team that we would do that. We'd present the gospel. What has Jesus done for them? What does it look like to give your life to Jesus, to follow him? And so I had, started from the beginning, from God creating the world, and what has God done to bring us back to him through Jesus. And I used our flannel board, which kids always love and even the adults love. And then I thought, okay, I don't have the gift for evangelism either. I can present it all. But when it came to actually giving the time for people to say yes to Jesus and pray with them, it just freaked me out. It was scary. But we have people on our team that love doing that. So I thought, okay, so I can do this teaching. And then when the time comes, I'll let them do that part of it because that's what they can do. So we did all of it. We ran through our program, and in all the different ways we were presenting Jesus and what he's done and why you should accept him. And then it came that time, and Sarah got up, and she did her thing, but she didn't give the opportunity. She didn't give them the chance to respond. And she went and sat down, and I thought, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Either I do it or it's not going to happen. And I just felt like, we can't leave it like that. We can't give all of this and just leave it. And so I went up and I shared, all nervous, and I felt fumbly and awkward, but I, prayerfully, I gave that opportunity for the kids and adults that were present. And we had about 90 or so people there, and 60 of them ended up giving their lives to Jesus that day. So it's just a show, like, there can be things that are scary, or we feel like, oh, I can't do it, or I don't have the gift for that, and somebody else can do it. But it's not about us, ultimately. It's about God and what he can do. And he can use us, even in ways we don't want, or we're afraid, or we don't think he can. We just have to step out and start. You know, you can't steer a parked car, right? You got to take that step, and God will work and do what you cannot do on your own. So he totally has moved in that group, and the kids and the adults love being there and are learning and growing. So Sunday school teaching for teachers, we teach children's church teachers, is a big part of what we do because it's hard. A lot of our team are not Ugandan. And so to build relationship, to do the work of discipleship, to live together with all those kids is hard. It's just not very practical. And so we train people in their communities who are there, who speak the language well, who know the culture, who are part of their church and community to do that. And it's been really awesome. Y'all know the next picture. Oh, yes. Yeah. So this is also bringing games and different things. Of course, kids love. This is still in that same village. And this is the IFGF. Yeah, this is another children's teacher training we did for a church denomination in the refugee camp that we work with. They came and we did a full week of teaching with them. So they came from 12 different churches spread out through refugee camps, South Sudanese refugee camps, and we did a week of teaching with them. Yeah, so they could go out again in their communities, in their churches to disciple kids. So that's my heart, is seeing kids turn to Jesus, to give themselves to him, and to be part of the church today. You know, often in Uganda, I don't know if it's the same exactly here, maybe, but they often say that kids are the church of tomorrow. We develop them to be the church of later, but kids are the church of today. They're part of the church. They can accept Jesus. They can follow him. They can use the gifts that he gives them here and now. They don't have to wait until they're big. So that's not what we do.
So discipleship is something that we really focus on. You know, like we've already said, we just don't have the gift of evangelism. You know, after years of training, we can do it, but that's not where we where we're gifted. So we do teaching and training and discipleship. I heard a few weeks back, Pastor Jim, and then also I think Larry a couple weeks ago read from Matthew 28. I don't know, you're saying something that's like the verse of New Hope Christian Center. Okay, so if you've been around any sort of missions community ever, like this is the verse, right? The Great Commission. But I don't know if you've ever noticed, but most people, they don't read the thing fully. Like they always leave out, right? Go into all the world, preach the gospel, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. But you forget the teaching them to obey all of the commands, right? Many times that happens. And so we focus on this. So here I am. This is at one of the churches in the refugee camp. So we've organized and we work together with a group of people. I do, which we have a short discipleship training. It's about 3 weeks. I mean, it's short for Uganda, I guess. And so we do 2 weeks of lecture where we teach about different topics, from missions to evangelism. We go through Bible literacy, and we invite people who are really committed to seeing the kingdom of God grow, who are committed to building up and encouraging their own church denominations and bringing change within their own communities. And, you know, we call those people to come. We train for 2 weeks. They hear, they listen to lectures. They sit in small groups and discuss things. And we take the last week, and then they go out in their own communities and find need and find people that they can pray with, evangelize to. They can do practical works, all kinds of stuff. But the end result is not just learning, because we know that what you believe will not change the world, right? But it's what you do with what you believe, right? It doesn't stop at the preaching and then the baptizing, but we have to keep going with bringing change in our own communities. We had a pastor a few weeks ago, you know, tell us that, you know, we can really see the state of the United States right now, how big of a mess it is. Maybe you guys should come back here and be missionaries here. I said, I think that's your job, right? God's called us to Uganda and South Sudan. You know, so we encourage the people and that we work with and interact with it. If we see need in our own communities, what are you going to do about it, right? If people are struggling, if people are hurting, you know, how can you be the change in that, right? So that was one of the trainings we did. This is another one of the discipleship trainings we did in the refugee settlement. I love this picture because if you can see, there's the Crystal. She's one of our staff. So every time we had Bible readings, you know, we'd go through teaching and we would read aloud because we have people that we work with that are not literate. And so, you know, we read one in English, and then the next guy, he's reading in a language called Nuer. And then I think Can't see who's in. Anyway, so I think maybe the next lady, she's reading in a language called Uduk. And then we had someone reading in Dinka language. And then we had somebody reading in Bari. So we have a big group of people that are there. And one of the great things of that is that, you know, through reading the, you know, when somebody hears the Bible in their own language, it brings value to who they are as a people group. Because, you know, through South Sudan, there's still, you know, conflicts and tensions between different tribes. And even when we were in this group on the first day, we were doing registration, and there was a couple ladies sitting next to each other. People were going around introducing themselves, and I heard somebody say, one of them, she said, oh, you know, my name is this, and then the translator put in, she is Nuer, which is one of the tribes. No, I think somebody said she's a Dinka person. And then the lady next to her got up, took her chair, and left. And she didn't come back. So we made a very, very purposeful to read, you know, because that's the thing. When you hear God's word in the language of the person you don't like, it also shows you that God loves that person, right? Because it's the same word that God has given to me as it is given to Danielle, as it is given to every person in this place. Doesn't matter where you're from, what you look like, what your culture is, or your background. It's all God's word to you, and you have a part in his kingdom. Maybe we can shift to the next one here. This is one of the churches that we held one of the trainings in the refugee settlement. We can go to the next one here. All right. So, like Danielle said, we have partnered together for our family, you know, just to be able to connect more with the people God's called us to. We have connected with a specific denomination because YWAM works interdenominationally. But we have purposefully partnered with a guy and his wife. He's the bishop over this denomination. They have about 14 locations within the refugee settlements. And so I am one of the teaching pastors in the denomination, and we travel around and encourage the churches. Danielle does children's teacher training within the denomination. And, you know, we work together, and we are, I mean, there's, I don't know, 20 pastors within this denomination. I'm just one of the pastors, right? We're just trying to fit in as best as we can. Even though I'm big and bald and white, we just try to fit in as best as we can, however we can do it. And so we went out to the refugee settlement. Oh, there we go. So the guy on the left, that's Bishop Moses, and then his wife Joyce. That's us together. And if we can go back to the other picture, I'll let Danielle talk a little bit. Here we go, about our time there. Just want to explain about
that. Okay, so this is a seminar. Seminars are really popular, or conferences in South Sudan and Uganda. So we get together, all different people. You have a big seminar, lots of people come. They know there's going to be food, and it's just a great time to teach. And so this is one of the, so it's IFGF, International Full Gospel Fellowship is the denomination. So this is one of their churches, again, meeting just under a tree. There's a big seminar there, and so my family went, Steve and I and our two kids, to teach at it. And I'm using the flannel board there because kids work well with visuals, but I think adults do too, just to see, helps us to remember. And people usually love it because we don't have that there. It's new and interesting. So, yeah, so this is one of the things that we do with the denomination, going to different churches, having these big conferences where people can come together and hear the word of God. Yeah.
Awesome. Sure, thanks. We can skip forward next. Oh, there we go. This was our Where's Waldo picture. I don't know if you can see our kids in there. Maybe. I'll let you look at that for a minute. So, but that's life as a missionary kid in South Sudan and Uganda. Anyway, you can skip to the next one there. Last year, I got the opportunity to teach at a Bible college that is from South Sudan. You know, God's really called us to the South Sudanese people, and we have, you know, lots of access through the refugee settlements and through relationships that we had when we were in South Sudan. And so this was actually a Bible college in the town of Yei where we lived when we were in South Sudan, and it has been relocated to Arua in Uganda where we live now. And so I'm one of the part-time volunteer teachers. So here are some of the teachers and the faculty and then some of the students that are there. So I have super blessed with the opportunity. I love teaching stuff like that, discussing and debating, and I really enjoy it. Through that, I've had the opportunity to also join a seminary through Sioux Falls Seminary in South Dakota, and so I'm working on my own theological degree right now, which will help for my teaching in the future. So I've had, great opportunity because, again, when we go back to the idea of discipleship, through YWAM and our seminars, we do try to teach and, be very purposeful on discipleship on a kind of a bigger scale. We've joined with IFGF, which, again, shrinks down our circle now of people that we interact with on more of a, a deeper level. And then we come down to the Bible College, and the class that I teach only has two students in it. So it's very, very specific now. So I really enjoy teaching those guys. And then all of these, the people, the students are pastors through the Church of South Sudan, which is an Anglican church. And so, most of the teachings and the trainings that I do, I teach and help and work with pastors of the Church of South Sudan and also Uganda. So I really enjoy working at the Bible College. And then the last picture here, we'll move to that one. Is that I've been doing a hospital visitation with a small team from Youth with a Mission in Arua, and we go specifically to the tuberculosis ward in the hospital. The hospitals are set up quite a bit differently there. They have big wards. If you're going to be there for longer than maybe 3 or 4 days, you have to come with your own mattress. Even if you're there for one day, they don't have, they just don't have the capacity to provide food for people. So then you have your friends or family members that will gather outside of the hospital. They have a cooking area, and they will cook for you. Some of the people in the tuberculosis ward don't have family members that can come and care for them. So there was, a church in Georgia or Alabama or something that the same people who sent the masks, so they donate money, and we do food distribution for the people who don't have food in the tuberculosis ward. So we go there, divide up the food, and we have some, a time where we can share about Jesus with them. Usually we go room to room and pray with people and encourage them. Some of the people don't have anybody to visit them completely, and so they're very encouraged by that. And so this was, a couple days before Christmas a couple years ago. And so I was able to preach there. We handed out food, and then I think it was like 6 or 7 people committed their lives to Christ. We were able to connect them with a local church, and then we had people that would follow up with them from the church. So it's a great opportunity. It's really easy going visiting people, talking and praying with them. But it makes a world of difference to people who are suffering, who don't have anybody to connect with. So that's a chunk of ministry and the things that have been going on in our lives. Everybody always asks about our house and dog. That's always a question that comes up. Maybe we can go to the next. So we had to add in a few pictures here. Oh, this is the road to the refugee camp. This is one of many places. This is actually not a bad place. That's a fairly okay place in the road. There are some places that are worse. But that's our main road getting out to the refugee camp. That's always, this is one of the normal sights we see. That's a transport. You can see the guy's got like 12 feet of stuff tied on the top of his van. It's a pretty normal sight. Just some of these random things people want to see when they know what life's like in Uganda. There's our house. We live in a round house. It's kind of a surprise to people. I think the equivalent would be like a yurt is what people have here. But we live in a round house. That's it. That's our kitchen. Go to the next one. That's maybe Thanksgiving, or I don't remember what that is. No, I think we just had some people over. That's a team that comes from another part of Uganda. They do trauma healing. We've worked actually for a few years now with a group of people who do trauma healing processing with children, which has been a great partnership. Danielle has worked well with them. They've actually adapted their curriculum, and they teach in the discipleship seminars that I do, and they've adapted it to adults where you just, it's more of like group processing through mental, emotional, and physical trauma that people have gone through. There's not a lot of people doing that, and so it's, you know, something that's been really, really appreciated and really needed in the refugee camps. And then, do we have anything else? Oh, that's our dog, Azog. And so he was a baby there, and then now you can go to the next picture there. That was his, somebody made him a cake for his birthday. That was Anna, and so we, I took a picture of it. So he's a pretty big guy. That's Anna in her hammock and her loft bed that I made. Yeah, and there we are again. So we are, you know, we really appreciate giving or having the opportunity to come and share with you guys today. Like Danielle said, you know, this is, it's like coming home. You know, we forgot we taught a 3- and 4-year-old Sunday school class for a couple years here at New Hope, and Josh Brown, about this tall, was in our class, if you can believe that. So anyway, so it's good to see everybody again. I don't know who I'm handing over to, but Pastor Aaron, thank you very much. We appreciate it, and we're very happy to see you guys again. Thanks.